We know that load shedding's been downgraded now and for the rest of the weekend to stage two, which means just one power cut a day. We don't know what's going to happen from Monday. We know that some stability has been restored to the power grid. How much? Let's talk to independent energy expert Ted Blom. Ted, thanks so much for coming on the show this afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon to you.
What has made us get to stage two?
Okay, so that long-awaited diesel has arrived from the Middle East. Eskom couldn't get some more expensive diesel off the high seas because they've been told that they must stick to their budgetary constraints, and that's why we had to wait for Eskom's own ship, so to speak, to come in. And by the way, it's called the Pavlov effect, when you get happy, when you get half good news.
What took us to stage four? It was the cyclone. It was the shortage of diesel. Cyril Ramaphosa says it was sabotage.
Okay, well, I'm going to differ on the sabotage. So there's been no evidence of sabotage. And you will know that the moment there's evidence of sabotage will be flooded with pictures and stories and witnesses and so on. So I want to discount that sort of rumor because... we're in political season. You misunderstand that. And the politicians will spin us anything. So I'm going to aggressively disagree with the sabotage contest. What has happened is that Eskom has gone back to its old habit of corruption and buying coal that's perforated with rock. I've got pictures of some of the stuff that's gone into the boilers and was delivered in the past week. And it's just disgusting. And it seems to me that there's still a tussle within the organization as to who's in control, the corruptors or the clean guys. And as far as I can see, that tussle hasn't been won yet. It's still ongoing on a daily and weekly basis. And I have very good insight into some of the tussles that are going on the coal procurement. Until such time as Eskom has sorted itself out, it's a year and a bit that the new board has been there, and they obviously haven't been able to get to grips with what's going on. Much as I predicted at the time, and I was castigated for my negative comments. The fact of the matter is that until Eskom gets down to investing in long-term proper coal supply agreements, and plus 5 years for the rollout of those new mines, we're going to be the victims of unmitigated load shedding at the most difficult times. I mean... part and parcel of the dropping off of the capacity was in the past week the fact that the rocket exploded and caused abrasive effects in the boilers. The boilers tube started leaking and they had to take them offline. The fact that we had the cyclone damage on top, I'll discount that as well. That line's more than 35 years old. It's never been a reliable line because of terrorist so-called activity in northern Mozambique. And in the pre-apartheid days, activity in this side of the wire as well. And what's lovely about the Cabora Bassa electricity is that it comes incredibly cheap. I think it's the cheapest source of electricity in the world, at less than 2 cents a kilowatt hour when I last investigated the matter. So that stuff has never been part of the baseload of South African DNA of power supply. But it's always been as and when it's available. And anyway, it's not a hell of a lot. It's about a gigawatt of electricity that comes down on an old direct current situation. In terms of where we are now, yes, I suppose Pavlov has rung the bell, and we are all celebrating because we're now down to level two load shedding. And where can it be from Monday? Well, heavens alone knows, because Eskom is certainly not in control. They don't have the reserve capacity. And one loose the rock can cause the whole system to come tumbling down again. And that's the vulnerability that we face at the moment. And we'll face that until Eskom sorts out the proper coal supply agreement.
So it's like whack-a-mole. It's like we don't know where the next problem's going to come up. And so we could go to stage four at any time. Absolutely. I mean, are we stockpiling?
Let me explain that to you a little bit better. Eskom carries roughly a safety margin of about 1,000 megawatts. Eskom should, according to my risk mitigation theory, carry probably three times that terms of safety margin, and which is much higher than anywhere else in the world. And the reason for it being that Eskom runs some of the biggest boilers in the world. The Madupi units are supposed to be 800 megawatt units each. So you don't need to be a rocket scientist to understand that if you lose more than one unit, you've burnt out your safety margin of 1,000 megawatts, and you'll be in crisis mode again. So, that is the genetic makeup of our system. It's been deliberate by Eskom because they reckon that the big boilers are far more cost-efficient to run. Unfortunately, that hasn't been evidenced in the price trajectory that you and I have been over the last 10 years.
What do you think this technical task team is doing at the moment? And, we're all kind of working towards this deadline of the next, Pravin said 10 to 14 days. What happens after that?
Okay. If you give me 10 seconds, I'll just try and tell you what they have been tasked to do. There are 11 gentlemen. I call them the technocratic 11. After the three happy Italians never arrived because of political pressure, and they follow on the eight wise men that sort of popped around over Christmas and whispered into Mr. Ramaphosa's ear that he must unbundle Eskom. I mean, there's been no reports, no scientific work to justify that. Again, it's the one hand fighting the other hand, the invisible hand, inside our pockets, so to speak. Now, these 11 technocrats, I mean, I said to a press conference earlier the week that half of these people wouldn't recognize a boiler to hit them between the eyes. They are engineers of some sort. They are not boiler engineers. And not all of them are even engineers. One of them is, in fact, an author about corporate navigations or something. Now, I don't know what that's got to do with boiler making, but anyway, the bottom line is that the 11 of them, there's roughly 120 boilers in Eskom that need to be investigated, studied. They need to look at the feedstock material that's been fed to this to each of these boilers. And remember, these boilers are at different power stations, so they're spread all over the country. Limpopo and Mpumalanga. And each boiler's got a different configuration. Eskom works on a bespoke system. There's no standardization between their boilers. And each boiler set, other than the last two, Madupi and Kusile, was manufactured by different manufacturers, which is in the past was a risk mitigation strategy, which was overridden by Mr. Damas when he was CEO. So they've got to not only look at the specifications, they've then got to see the track record of each boiler, how it's performed over the last year or two. Then they need to also investigate the competency of the operators. Now, you'll know that the power is generated 24/7, so there's at least two operations teams for every boiler. And those operation teams can be up to 50 individuals that are now going to be subjected to some type of testing, competency testing or whatever. I said right up front that if these 11 magical technocrats can do this within 4 weeks, I would eat my hat, and I stand on that. I think at best, if they're going to be rushed for time, they can do a very superficial job. You can't do a proper boiler analysis and performance test in 4 weeks, and more so if you're not a boiler specialist. So I'm not holding up high hope that they will come with a competent report that will be subject to peer review, etc., as is done in scientific studies. I think it's just political meandering again, kicking the can down the road, having somebody to blame for something not done properly. And anyway, it shows the incompetence of the decision makers to set such high hurdles to a bunch of people who are not eminently not qualified to do the job. Are people who could have done the job, and they haven't chosen the competent people who, in fact, volunteered to do the job.
A little bit more than 10 seconds, but straight talk from Ted Blom, as usual, independent energy expert, talking there about what could be around the corner.